ought to be based on Usher and or Floyd Nolan Jones. I don't know if he's got any of his in a study Bible, but we're actually going to be adding a book by Floyd Nolan Jones on the chronology of the Bible. And it's a pretty dry read, but it's got charts and things and explain all those dates and everything. So verse 2 then says, "And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness." That isn't talking just about the unsaved people, folks. I'm convinced most Christians live their lives like this.
Yeah, unfortunately.
"They consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about there before my face." In other words, God sees it all, knows it all, and He don't forget. God keeps books. Yeah. Jessica and I were talking about it downstairs. These people who die without Christ immediately split hell.
Yeah.
They're there until the time of the great white throne, and they're brought out of hell. So hell is temporary. And they're brought out of hell in front of a great white throne. Then the Bible says hell itself is cast into the lake of fire.
Yep.
And then one by one, all those who are not washed by the blood of the Lamb are going to stand at that great white throne and be judged by the law, according to their works, and be cast into a lake of fire. And it's after, there's no more watches and alarms. You don't get sleepy at 9 p.m. or wake up at 5. Her and I, clocks are off. She's basically like Eastern and I'm Pacific. You know? Because she's up at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm 8:15, 8:30 almost every day. But then she's 9, she's starting to see double. And she'll stay up sometimes. Lately she stayed up a good bit of the time to 10 or even a little later. But then I'm up till midnight, 12:30, 1 o'clock most of the time. And, Yeah, well, it's really not by choice. It's just the way it is. But when we're at the great white throne, nobody's going to be saying, "Man, this is taking forever." And you'd be like, "Well, we've got forever, so." What are you complaining about, you know? And but we won't get tired. You know, John, I don't know about you, but Jenny and I, we get on concrete. Oh, man, you start the back and then the knees, and young people are like, "What? You wait." The Lord tarries, you're going to know exactly what we're talking about. You'll be standing in Lowe's one day looking at something, and all of a sudden you're going to think, "Oh, man, what'd I do? I'm just standing here."
We're sitting on these hard benches.
Well, you know what? At least they've got carpet. And we do have pads you guys never use. We'll use two or three. And by the way, I've even told you, Doug, I was telling Pam again, I think Sunday, if you can buy things like you use at Bleachers, bring it in, sit on it, man. That's what Potsy would have said, sit on it. So anyway, we take comfort in God's end game. Now, to the wicked, that's not a comfort, but to us it is. That He sees all, knows all, and He's in control. We talked about that in our Roman study Sunday. Some of you are here for that. So God's omniscience. You see the word science in that? Omniscience. The word science means more than just knowledge, but it means, you know, what God knows. Omniscience means all knowledge. Although I've met people who think they're omniscient, they're not. Only God is omniscient. And the omnipotence. You want to know how powerful God is? You take all the energy in the universe. That means like our sun. You know, our sun like belches out matter all the time. It's so massive that it belches out matter and it's like the size of the earth. Constantly, just blip, blip, blip. It's the size of our whole planet, and yet 6,000 years later, you can't even really tell. Well, our sun, according to the astronomers, is not really one of the bigger stars.
Yep.
And they say there's a, how many billions that they guesstimate?
I don't know the number, but it's...
Yeah. I mean, so it's, see, we're already lost. We have no idea what we're even talking about. We're just using words. A few billion stars bigger than our sun? That's beyond our comprehension. And you know what? God's bigger than that. Because He made them all. That's what, when you say omnipotence, you're talking about somebody who's bigger and more powerful than all the energy and matter and everything in this universe. And He's bigger.
I think it's either Psalm 6 or 8, where He puts it up there, like, puts the stars and the sun up there, like it's finger.
Yeah. Well, in creation, He says, oh, and He made the stars also. Yeah, I know. I'm not, but I'm saying in the original creation, He's talking about making the stars. He's talking about all of them. And He's like, yeah, and He made the stars also. To us, we're like, wow. We're going to spend our entire lives and never be able to even see a tenth of what's out there, even in our visible part of the universe. And we're amazed. And God's like, yeah, I made that. Five light years, but that means that the fastest we can go, it would take like 100,000 years to get there. Huh?
4.4 light years.
Well, your light year is faster than mine.
Still a huge distance.
Right, that's the point. Like I said, you go as fast as humanly possible, as fast as mankind can go right now, and it's like 100,000 years to get there. So God's omniscience and omnipotence is a curse to the wicked. But listen to us. What have we been doing? Are we wailing and gnashing teeth? No, we're laughing and having, we get a joy out of it. Because He's our God. Amen. And you know, I tell people, I don't know if I said this in the message, I think I said it in conversation on this Sunday, but maybe I did say it during a Sunday school or something. Anyway, that when I pray many times, I say, God, thank You for being our God.
Amen.
I mean, He's just such, we, you know, we don't have any say in it. You know, it's like our parents. We couldn't pick and choose who we were born, what family we were born into. Well, we couldn't pick and choose who's God. And, you know, you think about what could have happened. And we got this one. And He's amazing. And He's not, and again, we talked about the Zeus's and the, you know, Cyclopses and all the Greek gods and the Hermes and everything. And they are wicked and terrible, and their word isn't really good. They can change like that and to tell you one thing and do something else, you know, and all that. God is not like that. God says something. He keeps His word. He can't forget things. He's not going to forget you or you or you or you. And He can't forget good or bad. And He cannot lie. Who said that? Good one. Amen. That's right. That's a big one. So I better speed it up a little bit.
But for, praise God.
Yeah, man. I like her attitude. Doug's turned around and said, but verse 3, read that with me. They make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. Now think of that. I'm using this in a broad sense, not just 21st century, but liberal politicians, those who hold that there's no absolute truth. God doesn't matter in all parties, no matter what political party or what nation, what country, wherever. They love what is called useful idiots. Now, I know that sounds like a disparaging term, and it is, but it is a historic term. It's not just an insult. It's a real historic phrase. A useful idiot is basically are those who fight for or defend a cause without understanding that cause or realizing that if that cause wins, they will be destroyed. I refer to the Bolsheviks. I refer to the communists in China. No matter who you're talking about, when these communists take over, the first people they kill are the socialists and the liberals.
Yeah.
Why? Because the other people are no real threat. And in order to solidify and protect their power, they kill them off.
Yeah.
And so these stupid liberals in America don't realize that if we ever fall into the kind of government they want, a lot of them are just going to be slaughtered.
Yep.
And you don't have to believe me. Just go read the history.
Amen.
Happens every time.
Also,
exactly, yeah. And, you know, a lot of times, well, I think that's what Hitler would have done with Mussolini. I mean, the war ended and Mussolini got hung in the street and everything and all that. But let's say that if the Nazis would have won, Mussolini was a dead man. As soon as the Nazis would have won, Mussolini was a dead man. So there you go. And so verse 4 says they are all adulterers. Have you ever noticed the more liberal, the more immoral? This is just a factual statement. The more liberal person is, the more immorality you will see in their life, and the more immorality they will put up with. Every church that goes liberal, the more liberal they go, the more sexual immorality you will see in that church.
Yep.
One of the things that's happened in Fundamental Baptist Church is that a lot of them get up and pound the pulpit, oh, we're fundamentalists, ah! But then they preach the gospel without repentance. They don't talk about repentance. They don't talk about sin. They go out and say, hey, how would you like to go to heaven? Oh, I'd love to go to heaven. Well, say this prayer with me. Blah, 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 blah. And wait a minute. You have to, yeah, I didn't say all. You have to present the gospel. You have to tell them that Jesus died for their what?
Sins.
Not for their bank account. And not to make their life better. That's just not it. Most Christians do enjoy life more and their life is better, but that's not why he died. He died for your sins. And he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, once a person understands that, they admit they're a sinner and they have a repentant heart wanting to be saved from their sin. Then you say, well, if you'd like to go to heaven, the Bible says if you believe that, you're saved. They're already saved. Now, would you pray with me?
Yeah. Amen.
That's how the Bible does it. I'm just telling you, that's how the Bible does it. I was taught this other stuff where you just try to lead them into a prayer. I can't find anywhere in the New Testament where it says people are saved by praying and asking Jesus into their heart. It's not in there. And a lot of these fundamentalists, man, they hold that Bible up and they're, we go by the Bible, nothing but the Bible. Except for this, except for that, and except for this. Like, wait a minute. Let's do it the Bible way. Jesus himself preached and said, they're going to kill me. And on the third day, I will rise again. If you believe on any man, believe on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Yep.
And the Apostle Paul comes along, and so does Peter and the others. And they preach that same message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they call on men to repent. Acts 20, 21, Acts 26, 20, and so forth. In action, you see them do it. And when people repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel, they were saved.
Amen.
There was never a time where anybody said, now, if you would like to be saved, say this little prayer with me. And then they say, amen, say, okay, if you said that prayer, raise your hand all across this building. Oh, I see that hand, I see that. I actually saw an evangelist one time say, I see that hand, I see that hand. And there were no hands going up. It's all a big show. God's not impressed with that. What he wants to know is you, in your heart, have you repented toward God and truly believed that gospel? That's what matters. Once you get away from that, you preach this softball gospel, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me type of thing. You fill your pews with unbelievers and you'll see more and more sexual immorality. You go away to the false Bibles, start watering down your doctrine, start joining up in the ecumenical junk. More sexual immorality. Happens every time.
Amen.
And I've seen it over and over in 30 years. Churches I've been in and churches I've just known of. And it says, as an oven heated. And I looked at John Wesley's commentary for this, because just to confirm, I was thinking, well, is this what it means? Yes. It means basically hell-bound reprobates stoking the fires. Now, does that not describe what the liberals are doing in this country now? Stoking the fires of hatred, wanting everybody to hate each other, racist this and racist that and all that. Just, they want a race war in this country. And they are willing to watch you die so they can get ratings. And back in this day, a lot of it has to do with the powers that be, and that, you know, and that same thing was going on then. This is the Twitter mob.
Die!
You know, you go on Twitter, you'll see it. Somebody will say something wrong, and they will hashtag it, and then everybody goes there and just cusses them out and, you know, threatens them and everything. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I made this, what I thought was a good picture of John 15:19, when Jesus said, "If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you."
Right.
And so fitting, they're all burning everything down. So then verse 5, if you're there, read it with me. "In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners." So apostasy and the end times are marked by what I'll call altered states of mind.
Yeah.
And today, the whole world's on dope.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's not only is there still all that drunkenness, legalized marijuana, and everybody's getting their pot. And then you have all the heroin, the fentanyl, and you know all that stuff. But then you also have all the psych meds that everybody's taking. Hey, for whatever reason, I pop, goes the weasel, you know. And you try to talk to them, and they got this glassy-eyed look, and you can't talk to them or anything. It's all setting up. And a lot of what you're seeing today is because everybody's on dope.
Yeah.
And real quick, that's sorcery in your Bible.
Yep.
And we always say you don't have to go back to the original Greek, but it is interesting if you go back to the received text. The word translated sorcery is pharmakia, just like pharmacy,
yeah,
where you get your drugs.
Yeah.
And I want to run to a couple places. First, go to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47, and, you know, like I say, there are some people who need something for this or that. There's brain injuries and things like that that happen. What I'm saying is that should be the exception, and it should be nowhere near the number of people that are on that stuff today. It's up to you and your family if you put yourself or someone else on that stuff, but you better be very careful with it. And it should be rare. It shouldn't be half the U.S. population taking psych meds.
Yeah.
Isaiah 47:9, if you're there, read that with me. "But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments." And I'll tell you, that enchantments and sorcery, it goes hand in hand. You're seeing more and more people get into the whole, you know, the Harry Potter thing's just kind of an introduction to it. And then they get into reading these books about Gaia worship and Wicca. And they're all getting into the occult. And it's coming into the churches. And they've got yoga. And they sell it as, oh, it's just stretching. Yeah, well, then why are you doing Hindu chants? And then they start teaching about chakras and all this New Age stuff and one thing after another. And they're just sucking people in. And people are getting involved in all this occultism and dope. And it's everywhere. The public schools, the Laodicean churches, the Roman Catholic churches, the Universalist Unitarian churches, the Christian Science people practice certain meditations and it put them in a mind-altered state. Everybody's going out of their mind. Literally. Look at verse 12. Read that with me. "Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail." They take, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's millions of kids every year that start them out on things like that Ritalin stuff. And I've met some of these guys who were on Ritalin from the time they were kids. And then by the time they're adults, they want to come off the crap that their parents were talked into putting them on, usually by the schools. And it's because they were normal children who just found it difficult to sit still for 6 hours a day in a concrete jungle. And they punish the child instead of punishing the child abusers. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah.
Let kids be kids. You can homeschool your kids and they don't have to sit still more than an hour or two a day. You can do all kinds of things standing up. You can do all kinds of things out in the yard and out in the parks and take them out to places where they actually make things and let them watch it and all that sort of thing. Just sickening. I'm sorry, I get a little bit huffy about this stuff because I hate child abuse. Look over to Revelation chapter 9 real quick. I mean, you think about it. I've told people before, if I advertised and I said, I'm accepting 30 kids into my home school, and for 6 hours, you're going to sit in my basement. How's that different than public school? Yeah. It's not. And they would come in there and shut me down and fine me. Yeah. Right. Just let that sink in. Revelation 9:21. This is the crowd that's alive. I believe this is the crowd that's alive today, missing the rapture, and then they take the mark.
Amen.
Read verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Man, I mean, murders, what are you talking about? Abortion, infanticide, killing off the old people, which I think a lot of this COVID is being done on purpose. Nor of their sorceries, which is the drugs and other mind-altering substances and meditations and enchantments. Nor of their fornication, which is Pride Month, just this past June. Pride in their sexual immorality. Everybody's proud to be a whore. And then, nor of their thefts. And what do you got? You got not only embezzlement and all that kind of thing, but now you have open looting. It's just amazing. Turn over to 18:23, Revelation 18:23. Read that. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And if you don't think that the Vatican and most governments and most big corporations are all in bed with big pharma, and our own government, the CIA and other governments are involved in illegal drug trafficking. Amen. And it's all tied in with the one world order, yep, which is rooted and based in Rome.
That's right.
Yep. I could go on about that, but it's all about the sorceries. So we go back to Hosea 7. I want to wrap it up. And verse 6, for they have made ready their heart like an oven, whilst they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. And you read that, it might not make a lot of sense as you're reading that. But Israel's liberals, people who rejected the authority of God and lived by their own opinion and all that, they stewed and fumed until they reached a boiling point. That's why these people are so angry. They just keep feeding their hatred. They have for years talked about, but I remember, how many men remember that big scandal when PBS had some guy doing some special and he talked about how the Left Behind series was a big deal, and he said, wow, it really would be wonderful if a few million of these Christians would just evaporate. That's how they felt about you for years. And they just, like it says, they have made ready their heart like an oven. That's what that means. Think about that. That's not about talking about eating pizza and getting heartburn. That means that they are enraged inside with hatred, heart heated like an oven, whilst they lie in wait. There's a lot of talk right now, a lot of chatter right now. There's a whole lot of people, including people who have never talked like this before, didn't talk like this during Obama's 8 years or anything, and they're going out and buying AR-15s and buying ammo, and buying ways to have water purification and all this stuff. And there's, because on the left, there's a lot of talk that if Trump wins, they're going to try to spark an all-out civil war. For they have made their heart like an oven. And they are so full of hatred. The people who talk about love the most are the most hateful people on the planet. And so I just tell you better be ready. We have a duty and a right to defend our homes, our families. And but if you want to die a martyr's death and let them take you out and gut you and do all that stuff, then more power to you. But your pastor's warned you.
Yeah,
I've warned you. I've been warning for years, but now I'm telling you, what if nothing happens? What's it going to hurt to have guns and ammo?
Right.
But if it does happen and they come to your house, you're not going to have angels show up like Lot did. You say, why? Wrong dispensation.
Yeah.
So you better be ready to take care of your family. And God gave Assyria an open door and lifted his protection.
Wow.
And verse 7, it says, they are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. It means defund the police. Lawlessness took over the streets in Israel, and lawlessness has taken over the streets in America.
Yeah.
You see, I'm not criticizing. I'm telling you, there have been times I've read Hosea and not got a lot out of it because I didn't read slowly, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and really compare Scripture with Scripture. But you see what happens now that we're doing it?
Yeah.
Looks like the news headlines.
Yep.
Right now. Verse 7 continues and talks about all their kings are fallen.
Yeah.
Israel's history ended with a rash of assassinations. That is why we pray for our president's safety.
Amen.
There's a lot of people who thought, boy, when JFK and RFK and MLK and George Wallace, it seemed like everybody getting assassinated. Remember, some of you are old enough to remember those days.
Amen.
I was sucking my thumb when it happened, but I remember it.
Yeah.
When George Wallace got shot. And in Reagan, yeah, they tried to kill him, one of the Bush family friends,
yep.
Hinckley. And a lot more we say about that. We don't have time, but pray for your president. And we're not going to read it because of time, but I've got the reference on my back windshield. It says, may God bless our president, Donald Trump. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6 is what I put on it. Why? Because it's a commandment.
Amen.
I prayed for Barack Obama, too. I just won't tell you what I prayed. And then verse 7 ends, there is none among them that calleth unto me.
Yeah.
Think of that.
Yeah.
Now, once believers become virtually non-existent, then judgment comes. In Israel, it was pure apostasy.
Yeah.
There wasn't no rapture back then. It was just such a massive falling away. Plus, they killed the prophets and killed the righteous as well. This will be the condition in America after the rapture.
Yep.
If not sooner.
Yeah. Amen.
The longer the Lord tarries, I'm convinced we're seeing more and more people show their true colors and walking away from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But regardless of it goes on long or not, once that rapture happens, the second after the rapture happens, there won't be a single Christian on the planet.
Yep.
Amen.
There will be people saved during the tribulation. I always have to throw that out there. I'm not. But the moment after the rapture, the dark age.
Yep.
And you think about it, you're a babe in Christ. A lot of people, it goes years before they grow up because they're not under good teaching and everything. During the tribulation, you're not going to be able to have big church meetings and have Bible institutes and all that. You're going to be on the run.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a bunch of baby Christians. I think it's one of the reasons why God's going to pour out His Spirit. And there's going to be a lot more miracles and things like that going on. Joel chapter 2 will be fulfilled literally. Not like this charismatic fakery. So as the musicians come forward,